Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio 89.1, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Marty Miller. Hi, Marty.
And hi, Susan, and hi to all our listeners out there.
Marty, this is your first time as co-host on KHOI, so I think we should begin with an introduction. I'll ask you to introduce yourself because I don't know where to begin.
Okay. Hi, Marty Miller. Oh, I'm introducing myself here. Yes. Well, thank you, Susan, for that. I have been here since 1970, and I am a sociologist working in the sociology department at Iowa State University. And I'm a criminologist, and I'm the one that started the criminal justice program there. One of my major loves of life, though, throughout my life, has been music here. I grew up in Chicago in the 1950s when jazz was flourishing in Chicago, and I became a jazz musician, actually, at a very young age. And I was playing jazz and some rock and all those sort of things in Chicago, and had a great time, and it's been with me for the rest of my life. So most of my friends are into music.
And I guess we've got a couple of those as our guests today.
Right here, yep.
But they're not jazz musicians. Actually, a little of their music might be the best introduction. How about a little clip?
Absolutely.
I climb the redwood hill, buzz on a rainy day, to rise above the throng, and to talk with Mother Nature for a while. She told me of her love for the children in her trough, and of her great concern for the likes of you and me and us.
That's a good introduction to
sure
Woody and Tony.
Woody and Tony Woodman, right. And affectionately called Woody here. And Woody and Tony and I met many years ago. Woody and I are sociologists in the same department. And by golly, we found out that we had mutual interests in music here. And I said, well, Woody, do you play anything? He said, yeah, I play a lot of things, cards.
Yeah, I can just hear it, yeah.
But the one that we were interested in was the banjo. He was a banjo picker, but he also is a good guitar player. And he's a dobro player, which is another bluegrass instrument, and a fine vocalist. And luckily, he married Tony. And so Bill and Tony are vocalists, and they actually were into music before they came to Iowa State University, Bill, right? And I
right.
remember you were.
Yes.
We met in
college chorus, and we sang madrigals. And the madrigal group was 16 singers, and the conductor would frequently break it up into quartets to make sure everybody knew their part. And I was always standing next to this alto, who was Tony, who did know her part and sang beautifully. And all of a sudden, in the middle of that year, the folk group that I sang in, two of the other of the three members of the group declared they were leaving for San Francisco, one to be in the San Francisco Civic Ballet and the other one in the San Francisco Opera. And so we had gigs to do. We had contracts. So I prevailed upon Tony to learn a lot of folk music very, very rapidly. And we were a big hit. But we sang together as a vocal group for about a year before we ever actually dated. So music was our introduction to each other.
You told me something a long time ago that you sang tenor duets.
Mm-hmm.
And that these were often called brother songs because,
yes, yes.
But of course, and you hear say Tony and Bill Woodman, you think maybe you're brothers, but not. But that's the characteristic sound that I always think of when I hear the vocals on the Skunk River Bluegrass Band,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
those tenor duets, which you don't hear very often.
Yeah, I was a tenor and she was an alto, and so and she could sing first alto and I could sing first tenor, second tenor if I had to. So
I even sang in the group, but I sang off key.
Well, in high school, I actually had to sing tenor. Yeah. We didn't have enough men in our chorus, so I got to practice that way.
Well, now you said you're both sociologists. Somebody told me that this sort of got started when you taught a sociology of bluegrass course. Is that right?
No, we actually got started because of the much missed Bob Richards from the sociology department. Bob and Mary Richards would frequently have people out on Sunday afternoon, and we would listen to music. Bob was a jazz fan and a folk music fan, and when he discovered that all of us liked folk music, we started bringing instruments and just sort of strumming along with records and then doing our own stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's no question the Skunk River Bluegrass Band came out of our association with Bob and Mary Richards.
That's right. And another connection is the Onion Creek Cloggers. And I was a part of that, and some of the musicians there came into the Skunk River Bluegrass Band here. Now, I'm the upright bass player, and I didn't start playing bass until I was actually in Ames. Actually, I knew nothing about bass, but then Woody said, you better find an instrument if we're going to play.
And we didn't need a drummer.
Yeah. And there's no drums in bluegrass, and I'm a drummer. And I play a little piano. So I found myself a bass fiddle and started to teach myself, and I became a bass player.
15 minutes later.
Yeah, I was on stage, and here I was trying to make a living.
Well, it sometimes takes a little longer to play the bass, but not much.
Yeah, but luckily, I love the bass, and it's a great instrument, and it's been with me for all these years, and I'm in several other bands now playing bass.
Now, well, we'll come to that part of the story later.
Okay.
But you all started playing bluegrass together. And where did you do your gigs? Did you just around Ames, or did you go out for festivals? What's going on with bluegrass?
Bluegrass festivals vary heavily. That was the thing was that you didn't get paid at these bluegrass festivals, and frequently they wouldn't even pay for the gas to get there. So it was a labor of love. And when we got started, it was not uncommon for us to go to half the summer weekends would be at bluegrass festivals in Iowa and Missouri. We did one job in Morrison, Illinois. We played a lot.
Yeah, all around Iowa and county.
And what you do at bluegrass festivals is it's not just a performance setting. Some of the most important things happen in the parking lot next to your camper. For a banjo player, the most horrific one is the 14-year-old kid who walks up and plays better than anybody you've ever heard in your entire life.
That's right.
The sweet and just distasteful kid. We all got better, and locally we played a lot of jobs like the maintenance shop. We did a lot of weddings and that sort of thing, but the maintenance shop was one of our regular gigs that we did at least twice, sometimes three times a year. Packed the place. We had great crowds. We had crowds that actually followed us, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah, we did play around Aunt Maud's. We played gigs there. This is, by the way, in the 1980s that we
Late
were doing
70s,
this,
yeah.
Where bluegrass festivals were so popular. They're not as popular nowadays, unfortunately, because it was great family type of entertainment here, and I really miss bluegrass festivals, but they were very popular all over. We could have been booked most every weekend in bluegrass festivals.
Yeah.
And we went outside of Iowa. We went to Missouri.
We played some less family-friendly places, too. We played a couple of bars with chicken wire across the stage.
Oh, yeah.
People see that in the Blues Brothers, and they think that's a joke. I'm here to tell you that wasn't a joke.
Was that to keep the vegetables off the stage?
But the good thing about that is the biggest guy there must have been 350 pounds, was at the bar, and he was kind of looking at us, and then all of a sudden he started to bang it. I like him.
Exactly right.
So we were saved.
Tiny had given us in perimeter.
We did only play there once, though.
Yeah, right.
By our choice.
Yeah.
Well, before you got together and started playing as a band, though, I guess Bill told me you had been playing with a group over in Boone.
Oh, just for fun. I got called by an old-time fiddle player named Dick Palmer, who, when I met him, was probably in his late 70s, early 80s, nearly deaf. A lot of fiddle players play actually by the feel of the instrument against their ear. And Dick said, I need a banjo player. My son, the guitar player, can't carry all the weight. And so I would show up, and he knew thousands of fiddle tunes, many I've never heard again. And we played some rough places. Dick's sign-off was he would start playing the tune, "Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed." And we'd all start singing along with him, and everybody in Boone County knew that meant Dick was finished. And so we were playing a gig in a city park in Boone one time, and there was gunfire from the parking lot. You hear it as a wedding, just clear as day. And right in the middle of Faded Love or something, he just broke into "Show Me the Way to Go Home." And we started, and I played a break, and the guitar player put his instrument away, and the bass player took a break. And by the time the cops showed up, we were pulling out of the parking lot. And this was not Dick's first rodeo. He'd seen gunfire and boom. So, but that was a first for me.
Yeah. Well, that's a great county story. You had all these good times, and I guess I know you played on the radio a little because that's how I got my good recorded music. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's something I just ought to mention. In the course of this, one of the things that was nice about the Skunk River Bluegrass Band when we were looking for people to do shows was that they don't keep updating their music. Other people, like the Barn Owl Band, get new members, and they get a new fiddle player, they get a new sound. Skunk River Bluegrass is frozen in time, and it is the entire collection of their recorded works is on Woody's computer and on a thumb drive, which he gave to Marty and which I use for this program. And it occurred to me, where else is that music recorded? Where is it saved? And so it's the beginning of our local music archives, because there are probably other groups out there who have never cut CDs, and even if they have, those are not widely distributed, and we ought to be keeping track of those.
Yeah, that's a great service, too, you know. Yeah, because there's several groups out of Ames that, you know, should be preserved in the archives here, and so I'm glad to hear it, and it's glad that Skunk River Bluegrass Band is preserved in ice.
Like the insect and amber.
But, of course, you know, we live in Iowa, so we should be cold.
Right. Speaking of cold, I'll never forget the Bluegrass Festival in Newton in January.
January.
Oh, gosh.
And
motel.
And it was safe on the way over, but a blizzard came in the next morning after everyone had performed. Fortunately, Woody, in his great wisdom, had taken the battery out of our car
or our Volkswagen bus
and stuck it in the room so that our engine would be able to start the next morning.
It was 100 below zero wind chill.
But all of
and
you,
they closed the interstate.
All of you Iowans know what it's like to be driving on the road and you see cars in the ditches, and it just reminds you of Death Valley days, except it's snow instead of sand. Anyway, that's where we met the Whites.
It wasn't all warm
in
the summer.
We met the Whites there.
We met. We played with Ricky Skaggs. Mm-hmm. Ricky Skaggs was sniffing around one of the White daughters, dating. And, they were both married to other people. So was the dobro player, Jerry Douglas. Mm-hmm. And so we went down in the basement after we opened for them. And after the show was over, Rick Exner and I were noodling around on some song we had heard there, and Ricky Skaggs came down and picked up an instrument and played along with us, and so did Jerry Douglas. And in the course of the couple hours we did that, Ricky played almost every instrument in the place. I think if there had been a kazoo and a trombone, he'd have played that too. But an amazing guy. But we did have some fun times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and speaking of changing instruments, there's one of the cuts on your 30 hours of recorded music where you start out a concert and right away Rick Exner's string broke on his guitar.
Yeah.
And so there's a
sounds
little
like a gunshot.
Shuffling around. You know, how are we going to play this concert without a string? And some jokes about what kind of things you might use for strings. Do you remember any of the original ideas you had?
You know, that was actually on our radio show. That was on KPGY-FM. Remember Mike Allen was the host of that?
And
it was on March 18th, 1978 was the date of that. First piece, boom. Yeah. There went the string. We hardly got into the show.
Well, we welcome you all to listen to our music here. We're the Skunk River Bluegrass Band, and we really enjoy playing bluegrass music for you. As what happens in a lot of bands, we even have our first casualty, which is a string. Rick, our guitar player, broke his string here, but we're diligently getting it all fixed now. Well, we're quick, find a string!
Put something on. Well, he found a piece of fence wire here.
That's right.
And,
well,
he's
at least it wasn't a deep string.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Next tune we have is a tune written by Ian Tyson, a Canadian folk singer, and the name of it is Summer Wages. It was, some of you from the, who have a, are fans of folk music might remember the duo of Ian and Sylvia. And this is one of their songs here. Unfortunately, a guitar is indispensable.
Yeah, right.
Maybe this would be a good time.
Yes, why don't you introduce the group?
Oh, okay, that seems appropriate. This is Mike Allen. I've just moved from the control room to the studio where all these people are having this rather humorous trouble, actually. This is the part of the excitement of the live radio, I guess. And over there on the big, what we like to call the doghouse bass, is kind of the mastermind of this group. His name, he's the one, what is this, the master's listening business?
He's the unindicted co-conspirator.
Unindicted co-conspirator. And he's the one over there with a mustache for you that are looking in at your radio.
Mustache.
So that's Marty Miller over there. You might tell the folks what you do to earn your daily bread.
Well, that's what my boss would like to know, too, to tell the truth. I teach in the sociology department and teach courses in criminology and delinquency. I teach them how to be good delinquents, criminals, this sort of thing. And as a part-time job, I play this big old bass here, which is my pride and joy here. Good old doghouse bass.
Yes, it's unfortunate you had to sell your oldest daughter into slavery to get it, but that's the way it goes.
That's right.
Next to him with a miniature replica of what Marty's got is playing is Tom O'Neill on the fiddle. And Tom doesn't say very much except with his fiddle, but what do you got to say for us right now?
Well, would you like to know what I do, man? How's Rick doing over there?
Okay.
By the way, may I say that Tom here is a very good carpenter, too, you know, when he's not working on the computer.
I'm also a teaching assistant in computer science.
Very good. And then we have a husband and wife team here, and we hope that they will be doing some husband and wife type singing here later. I think they do a couple of numbers like that.
Welcome Ozzie and Harriet.
Ozzie and Harriet.
Harriet, where are the children?
You're listening right now to the Woodmans.
Yes, Catherine. I wonder if Catherine and Jeff are here now. We'll see. We'll ask them when we get home.
Tony is a tutor at Northwood.
No.
At Ames High School. Northwood Ames High School. And I'm also in the sociology department.
Okay, and this is Rick Exner over here, who's just got his guitar tuned up. It works. What do you have to say for yourself, Rick? Very good.
Do I need a ride home tonight?
I think they're all ready to do another number for you now, so if you'd like to, just go ahead and the program's yours again.
By the way, I might add that Mike Allen is a pivotal figure in some ways, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mike was a member of the Allen family, which was a bluegrass group out of Cresco, Iowa. Mm-hmm. And Mike left Ames with his degree in physics and Russian and went to the University of Kansas where he got a Ph.D. in physics, a dual Ph.D. in physics and Russian, and later spent the next few years working as a consultant to certain unnamed intelligence agencies translating technical materials from Russian. But he also became one of the best banjo players in America. Yeah, he won the national championships at Winfield, Kansas, and he was a friend of ours. We liked Mike a lot.
He was a fine vocalist, too.
Banjo player, vocalist.
Had a family band, the Allen family band. His dad and sister were very fine musicians, too. Yeah.
And they cut a record, as I recall. Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, I think they did cut
a record. 33. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me go back and pick up that story where after your string broke, I should say after Rick Exner's string broke, then a little while longer, farther down, you I think, had gotten Woody to pull out his guitar because you didn't have to have a guitar. And Rick had switched over to harmonica. So you also did a little creative switching. Not a kazoo, but a harmonica.
Close enough.
Yes. There was one song where Rick did both. Mm-hmm. I remember harmonica and guitar.
Yeah,
you
did put the Bob Dylan teeth repair thing or harness on and played the harmonica.
Your band didn't last really very long. It didn't last through the 80s. And the story of what happened to it, I think, is pretty unique.
Actually, I thought the band lasted for quite a few years. Other bluegrass bands, we were together
five or six years.
Quite a long time.
Bands tend to form and dissolve rather rapidly.
Yeah,
I see. Well, I guess I'd been talking to bands like the Barn Owl Band that have been gone for decades.
Right.
That's very unusual.
Yeah.
Okay. But so what happened to the Skunk River
Bluegrass
the band?
What happened was that literally I was driving along in the street in Ames. I saw a hot air balloon launch from the field, which is right about where Mortensen Drive, where the Scary Rabbit is now in Ryman Gardens. And it flew off to the northwest, and I chased it, and I was there when they landed and packed up, and I met the pilot, and he handed me his card. And so I said, I got to go fly a balloon in a balloon. So I went out shortly after one morning. Tony didn't have a sitter for the kids, so I went by myself. And I like to tell people that my first balloon ride cost $150, and my second one cost $15,000. So, because I was about 10 feet off the ground, and I said, oh, my God, I've got to do this. Mm-hmm. And I was utterly hooked. And so we had our first balloon built and started flying in 82, and the band overlapped. We tried to do both for a while. Oh, my God, it was difficult. We were at a bluegrass festival in Cedar Rapids. We got up about 4 in the morning, made it to the pilot's meeting at 5, went out and flew, packed up the balloon, fed the crew, got back to the motel about 10, ran over to the park, sang with the band, had lunch, sang with the band again, then went out to the pilot's meeting, flew again, and got back to the motel about 11 o'clock that night. And we did that. About the third day, we were almost catatonic from lack of sleep. Yeah. So we realized that we were at a one or the other choice, and mm-hmm. and it was a hard one. We didn't instantly make the decision.
No, in fact, our balloon was named Simple Gifts.
Our balloon was named Simple Gifts after the Shaker hymn: "Tis a gift to be simple, tis a gift to be free, tis a gift to come down where
in
you
our
ought
repertoire.
To be."
It's a song in our
and we did so we sang it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And we also sang that song to the balloon builder, and he loved
he
it.
Was,
yeah.
And that was our first balloon. Our second balloon was the Iowa State balloon. It had Iowa State on one side and the smiling Cy from Cyride on the other side. Not the. We always say it's the Cy that children run toward, not from. Mm-hmm. And we love ballooning a lot.
Now that had a definite time span. That was 10 years, right? Because the balloons can't
We were balloonists for 20 years.
No, but you didn't have you can only have a balloon for 10 years, right?
No.
Oh, no.
No. The balloon can fly as long as it's airworthy.
I see.
It does have to be tested every year. It has to have an annual.
It has an annual inspection by FAA-rated repair station.
And a wonderful thing happened with Simple Gifts. It was a special time when the fabric was really good. And so Simple Gifts, after 15 years of flying, was a better, more airworthy than some of the new balloons that were a day old.
Yeah, so manufacturer said I could sell you a new one, but not a better one.
And cool. Sigh in the Sky, we did a...
We recoded part of
we
it
recoded
because
it,
the red on it was leaking air a little bit.
We have a little time right now. Becca, there's an extra song. Probably a lot of people recognize that song, even if they're not bluegrass fans.
Yeah, Buddy Holly, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that one, that's the sort of thing we did. That yeah. We did a lot of what got called newgrass stuff, and we would do some pop music or some rock music, and the old-timers would sort of sniff, and yet the younger people would come running to the front of the stage and dance when mm-hmm. we did that, and the maintenance shop just went nuts when we did those
the
kind
maintenance
of things.
Shop was always mm-hmm. a wonderful audience. I think, right. Susan, you were in there.
Yeah, well,
in that audience.
Well, if we had time, I'd tell about the time I went up in a hot air balloon. And when the sound of the burner went on, our dog, who we just had for a very short time.
Ran to Wisconsin.
Right, ran away. And Fritz didn't get on. So I was looking down as we flew over Ames trying to see if he'd found the dog yet. By the way, that was a great set of pictures because I took a camera, and these aerial views of Ames from a balloon were just fantastic. Yeah.
Incomparable.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot.
Well,
I
always used to say that the problem with being a balloonist is that the world doesn't look exactly the same after you've flown over it in a balloon. You have a tendency to have a top-down view, what that means is that for the rest of your life, you go through some place and you say to yourself, gee, I wish I could fly over this. I mean, we were up in the Redwoods, Northern California, a couple of months ago, and that was the reaction I had. I'd just like to fly over it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Woody flew everywhere. You know, I'm also a coach, and I was coaching a elementary school softball game there, and all of a sudden I heard from the heavens, play ball! I'm looking up, and there is Woody floating over the softball field.
True.
And I'm waving. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story to end this section. We have to say goodbye to Tony now because she has a water aerobics class to teach at 8 o'clock. Where do you teach it?
At Green Hills.
At Green Hills.
They're lovely people, so...
Oh,
I don't want to disappoint.
Thank you for coming.
Yes. Thank you, Tony.
Well, I had a lovely time. Thank you.
It was good to reminisce.
Yes, it was. Okay. We'll have to reminisce some more.
Absolutely.
That old house we used to live in, the roof is falling in like every other one along the block. Took 20 years to pay and tend to rot. Dad says it's old, it's better off gone. It's gone.
Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio is with us, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Marty Miller.
How to do?
We've been talking with Bill and Sony Woodman about the Skunk River Bluegrass Band, how it started, and how it ended. Tony has had to leave us to teach her water aerobics class, but Bill will stay with us to talk about what's happened to bluegrass music and to the musicians from the band who are right with us today. Well, a couple are still around playing music, and very different kinds, and we'll hear about that. And so just a little instrumental while we transition. Been talking about the Skunk River Bluegrass Band, and we have two of the original musicians from that band with us. Marty Miller was originally on bass.
That's right.
And Bill Woodman on banjo and guitar and what else?
Vocals.
Of course.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the other two musicians, I talked to Rick, who plays guitar, and he still plays, or I should say he plays again, because he left the band to go to grad school and was out of music for a while, for a long time, I guess. And he is now playing with the Porch Stompers, and he plays for the Central Iowa Barn Dance and elsewhere. And we'll probably talk to him about his music some future time. But Tom Richards, who has already appeared on our Wednesday show couple of times, is calling in to reminisce about bluegrass. Hi, Tom. Are you with us?
Yes,
hello,
I am.
Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, you guys.
And so, did your kind of music change after you left the bluegrass band?
Yes, I am. I played with Al Harris for a while. He was doing some singles, some country music singles, and he was just calling on all kinds of musicians to come into studio sessions and help him with that. So I got involved with that, and then after we made those records, then Al and I went out and played in nightclubs and coffee houses for a while.
Well, you mentioned those records. I'm very familiar with one of them. It's the one that our theme music comes from, The Ballad of Kate Shelley, which is railroad-related songs. And did you have another single that you collaborated on?
Well, we did. We did one that was called "Unemployment Blues," a single. I can't even remember what we put on the backside of that. And then later, we did another one called "Sleep On," just country songs.
And you're the one who originally told me about these bluegrass musicians in Boone. Are you in contact with anybody over there?
Well, I see the dobro player. Yeah,
Jack Ferguson.
Jack, mm-hmm. Yeah, do you guys see him ever?
Yeah, every once in a while we bump into Jack and reminisce about the old days, because Jack actually, he was a guest musician on some of our gigs, Tom,
right.
If you remember, you know. So, yeah, a fine musician.
Oh, yes.
And remember his sidekick?
Bob Quillen.
Quillen, that's it. I've been trying all night to think about Bob Quillen. Right. Bob and Jack. And they had a band, a bluegrass band, that was the Boone County Bluegrass Band.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they probably aren't playing anymore either, is that right?
Well, Bob moved out of state. I think he moved to Missouri, and I don't know what he's doing. And Jack is still playing once in a while, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, he's somebody to follow up on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else that you weren't a sociologist, right, Tom? You started a woodworking business, or how did you learn woodworking?
Well, my dad got me started when I was a young pup. My dad was actually a carpenter when he was young. My mom told me one time when they were first married, he put a staircase in a lady's house, and it was real beautiful. But he was in the restaurant business, but we were always working on that building.
You mean the building where Richard's Restaurant was?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Richard's Restaurant was real classic here in Ames.
It was, yeah. Indeed. West Side, was it West Side of Ames? Yeah, near Hy-Vee is now, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, my family was also in the restaurant business, so I can sort of understand why you decided not to be in the restaurant business.
Indeed.
And so you now have your own business. I think you worked for a while for Keith Rollenhagen, is that right?
Oh, yes. I bounced around and worked for different people. I worked for Pike Construction and Allen Construction.
Well, I remember when you worked for Keith Rollenhagen because you were involved in putting in a very, very elegant installation at the Unitarian Fellowship. For anybody who's been there, they're wall-like doors. They're about 12 feet tall and curved and slide. And I remember you being there for the installation, and I was really impressed. Since I'd known you as a student in sociology, I thought, wow, you you have real talents.
Yeah. We actually built those out in Keith's shop and brought them in pieces and assembled them and then hung them on a track. Yeah, that was quite a project. That was a gift from Hazel
Hammer. Yes, yeah. That was her memorial gift. She had a $10,000 insurance policy, and those doors were in our plans when we had built this addition, but we couldn't come up with the money, and she left that as her memorial.
Well, Tom has many, many talents, including renovations of old homes. If I remember, Tom, you went. Did you go to Philadelphia or somewhere, and you worked to renovate some older historical homes?
Yeah. Down on South Street and 3rd Street and South Street. Right in the middle of a really interesting part of Philadelphia.
Yeah. Is there anything else, anything you and Woody have to reminisce about in common before we close out with another bluegrass piece, Old Home Place?
Bill, I haven't seen you for...
I haven't seen Tom in decades.
Yeah.
Well, we're both still vertical, so I suppose.
That's a good sign,
yeah.
Yeah. But it was such a pleasure having Tom in the group. He has one of the most pleasant singing voices that I know. And so he brought a lot of nice kind of ballads and nice soft music in. And his mandolin playing was wonderful. I think you're the only left-handed mandolin pickers I know, Tom. I don't know. Yeah. But it was great having you.
Yeah.
Well, I hope there's a mandolin on Old Home Place, but...
I'm sure there is somewhere, right.
Oh, are you going to play that?
Yeah, we are. Oh, yeah. Bye-bye. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
For calling
in. Tom.
Yeah, thanks.
Town is sure in trouble. Looks like it must have doubled its sin and size since I've been gone. Papers all are full of killing. 2 million people willing to die. Something they've never known. City streets of drunks and junkie stones. Heaven made a hell they call their home. Well, it's gone like the life of a child. When it turns its back on your mind. Tomorrow has no home, sweet home. Look what they've done to mine. It's just baby
just another memory I've kept the way it always was. Ever since you died, it just won't run. Always knew I was a favorite one. And it's gone like the life of a child.
Our county news today comes from all of the nearby areas. A story from last week's Story City Herald caught my eye because I thought it showed a lively spirit that might inspire other towns as well. We've called Molly Nagel at Upper Story Studio to tell us about it. Hi, Molly.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Great, and I'm glad that you are up to talk to us. So, at Upper Story, are you at Upper Story or at home?
I am at Upper Story right now.
Oh, okay. Well, what is this project that caught my eye?
Well, this is the window decorating contest in Story City. This is a project put on by the Chamber of Commerce. We have encouraged local businesses on our main street to participate. And basically, we want businesses to decorate their windows. Various things seasonally. We're doing a different competition every month. And basically, it's to show the community and show visitors to our community the vibrance of Story City by showing things to the community, by showing the wares in the shops, by showing decorations for holidays. Right now, our theme is a general fall, Halloween. There's some really neat windows displays that are put up right now.
About how many will there be?
I think we've got about eight, somewhere in that number, about eight different places that are participating right now.
Then this is a competition, and you have a time when you judge all the windows and award the traveling trophy. Is it a traveling trophy?
Yes, it is. We will be judging those at the end of this month. And the traveling trophy is rather unique. It is actually a vintage antique window that was donated by the store In Vintage, which is a lovely antique store here in Story City. And it was being decorated as a stained glass artwork, and that itself will be the trophy for winning the window decoration contest.
Oh, well, that'll be a neat thing to have in people's windows in the future.
Yes, and it's going to be a traveling trophy, so the person who wins every time will get the window as bragging rights until the next winner gets to claim it.
Okay, well, that's a unique way to pull people together in your downtown. Do you have lots of visitors at this time of year? I don't know that Central Iowa is known for leaf peeping.
I personally think we're a pretty nice town for leaf peeping. We're right set along the Skunk River. Things are very, very pretty this time of year. I know I take my dogs out for walks right along the Skunk, and it's very beautiful. We have a really nice downtown with lots of shops that people can come and visit if you're into antiquing or small gift stores. We have a couple of lovely restaurants, too. So I would definitely encourage people to stop into town, take a day, take an afternoon, and see what all we have to offer.
I guess that's the idea of your contest, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I enjoy going to Story City. There's a movie house there that I and my family have gone to for years.
Yes, and those of you who listened last week got to hear from Todd Thorson about how it's being brought into the 21st century.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Molly.
Thank you, Molly.
Have a good day.
Thank you, guys.
Now, we do have another caller who we will be calling out to. This item comes from a farm just outside Ames, from which Ruth Wiedemeyer called this story in yesterday. So I will just let her tell you who will be in our area and what's happening this next weekend. Now, I have to tell you, this is sort of just at the edge of our listening area possibilities because we're supposed to be from the surrounding area. And this is from a farm just outside of Ames, but the activity she's going to describe will be where she works, which is at the Octagon. Hi, Ruth. Are you there?
Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Ruth. I know that you have somebody to tell us about, so can you begin?
Well, yes. Thank you for the opportunity to tell your listeners about an upcoming event at the Octagon Center for the Arts this Sunday. Well, Ames native Ted Kooser will be here in conjunction with the current exhibit, which is Defining Ames, 150 Historic People, Places, and Events, put on by the Ames History Center and in the Octagon Center for the Arts currently.
Could you tell us who Ted Kooser is for those who don't happen to know about his distinctive career?
Well, Ted Kooser is an author and poet, and he's also a past U.S. Poet Laureate and a Pulitzer Prize winner for one of his books of poetry.
Will he be reading poetry or will he be reminiscing? What will he be doing when he's here?
He'll be reading from his selections of poems, and we'll also be signing books, which will be available at the event.
Is he here then for the 150th anniversary? Is that the idea?
Well, Ted was, we've brought Ted to Ames. I'd like to thank the Ames Community Grant Program and the Ames Commission on the Arts, both of which helped with the Ames 150 exhibit, which includes Ted's visit.
You don't happen to have one of his poems handy, do you?
Well, I do. First, I'd like to run by the specifics for the event, if I may. Again, he'll be at the Octagon Center for the Arts this Sunday, October 19th at 2 p.m. We're going to open the doors at 1 p.m., and this will be held in the Octagon Main Gallery on the third floor. The Octagon Center is located at 427 Douglas Avenue in downtown Ames. And if you'd like more information, you can call the Octagon Center at 515-232-5331.
Thank you. And now we have time for a little bit of poetry, if you have some handy.
This is from one of Ted's newest books called Splitting an Order and published by Copper Canyon Press, a nonprofit publisher dedicated to poetry. It's published in, was published this year. It's a long-awaited collection, 10 years in the making, and this poem is called A Meeting After Many Years. Our words were a few colorful leaves afloat on a very old silence, the kind with a terrifying undertow, and we stood right at its edge, wrapping ourselves in our own arms because of the chill, and with old voices called back and forth across all those years until we could bear it no longer and turned from each other and walked away into our country.
Very nice.
Beautiful
poem.
Beautiful poem.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So those people who are moved to poetry will have an opportunity to hear Ted Kooser this weekend. Thank you for telling us about it, Ruth.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. There's also a new biography about Ted's life. It's the first biography written about Ted, and it's called The Life and Poetry of Ted Kooser by Mary Kay Stillwell, and published by the University of Nebraska Press.
Okay.
Good to know.
And will that be available on at the event?
Yes, and the biography will be available at the event as well.
Okay. And could you give us the time and date of that again?
Ted Kooser will be at the Octagon Center for the Arts this Sunday, October 19th at 2 p.m. in the main gallery on the third floor, and we'll have the doors open at 1 p.m.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ruth.
Thank you, Susan.
For the balance of the program, I'd like to talk just a little bit about what we hope to hear from you in the next week. But this is time for a station break. Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio 89.1, where we explore the people, stories, and events in central Iowa, and whenever possible, focusing on the seven-county area beyond Ames. We did take think Ted Kooser was special enough that we could include him since he was American Poet Laureate for 2 years. But we have to create space on our dial for things that unite our region as a community and where we can learn more about ourselves and each other. But for the balance of our program, to balance out the poetry, we include an R-rated evening of entertainment in Nevada when comedian Bill Blank will perform along with comedian Tom Garland, America's Funny Man, on Friday, October 17th at 8 p.m. No one under 18 will be permitted. Please let us know what's happening in your town. So send your newsletters to us. Now, that reference is because this particular announcement was in the Nevada newsletter. And that's where we will get our announcements, unless you call and tell us there's something really important that you want to tell us about, as Ruth did. And so please call in. We've learned we're not set up to do call-ins very well, since Local Talk is live only at 7 a.m. and is rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. But you can email us at khoiradio@gmail.com. If you leave your name and phone number, one of our county reporters will get back to you. It will help us if you put county in the subject line. Same goes for calling the KHOI studio at 515-292-2878. Leave your message for the county reporter.
And I, for one, well, I hope that a lot of music from this area is included in that.
We hope so, too. And we have already started our music archives, as I mentioned. I just talked with Rick Morrison about setting up a special collection. And in some cases, we can record music of local musicians. So please get in touch with us if you know about any music that needs to be saved.
Right. And we're starting with the Skunk River Bluegrass Band.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what gave me the idea for the archive. I've been one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Marty Miller. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and today we have been talking about bluegrass music and a few of the musicians who've played it around here. Local Talk is engineered by Rebecca Brown. We've got a real workout today. Music you heard today included Summer Wages, Old Home Place.
That's right.
And that Buddy Holly song.
Yep, and an instrumental that actually Bill wrote. And we're trying to think of what he named it, but didn't come up with it now.
No.
But it was a nice banjo piece that he wrote. Yeah.
That's right. And most of these were recorded at
the radio station that was at Iowa State University, KPGY-FM. Well, 70s and 80s, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards, the Tom Richards of the formerly of the Bluegrass Band, from their CD, Ballad of Kate Shelley. You can listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, where you'll find an archive for all of the Local Talk shows we've produced since we went on the air in 2012. Recent shows will be posted on our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, can get the information. Look for the links to the organizations mentioned in our program. If you enjoyed this show...
Yep, that's right. Enjoy the show, tell your friends, and help us find the stories you'd like to hear. You can give us your feedback either by phone at 515-292-2878 or by the email at khoirradio@gmail.com with county in the subject line. The county reporters would appreciate your name, a phone number, so they could talk with you.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join us as a reporter, contact us at 215-292-2878 or at the email khoiradio@gmail.com. Your participation in as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
Absolutely.